The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Adults. My name is Glenn King, and it is, as always, my honor and privilege to bring you adult entertainment talk for the adult entertainment curious. And, you know, I always try to make the show like a conversation between old friends. So I'm always looking for really special old friends to bring on the show. And today I've got just that, a very special old friend.
Very old.
She's not old. Now I'm going to set this up for you, though, by explaining something. I am a good judge of talents. This is one of my skills, is that I can look at the new talent that's coming in and usually watch her for a couple minutes and tell you this girl's going to make it in this business or this girl isn't. And back in, I think, 2004 or 2005, something like that, so you all have heard Christy Canyon on the show, and you know that she and I have a very close relationship and always have. So she was a judge on a show called Jenna's American Sex Star. And so Christy invited me to come hang out with her and go backstage on the show as they were doing the finals. I walked in with her, looked at the contestants, and there was one of them who stood out from the others. I mean, it was just crazy. I spotted her and immediately said, "Christy, who is that?" And she said, "That is Michelle Maylene." And I said, "Okay, that girl is stunning, and she's going to win this damn thing. And I hope she's going to win this damn thing." But I said, she's not going to be probably long for porn, because she's kind of better than your typical porn star. She can be in mainstream or other things. She's going to be doing something else, unless she signs a deal with Vivid to do, like, you know, upscale dramas that don't have that much sex in them. And so that girl was, and still is, the great Michelle Maylene.
Hi, everybody.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that whole thing with Jenna's Club Sex Star, and we're going to talk about how she got into the business and what she's been doing lately and all kinds of great stuff. So let's get right into it with her.
Yes.
Let's just start. Okay, so first I have to describe to everybody what you look like, what you're wearing right now. They all ask for this.
Okay.
So, all right, Michelle Maylene is a 32-year-old, 32, right?
32, yeah.
Stunning, half-Asian, half-French model, basically. She is currently wearing a tiny little pair of shorts and a top that says Fender on it, because, you know, very cool. She's a rocker chick, as you can see. And her legs are tan. I'm looking at her legs. Stunningly beautiful. So you all are going to want to go check her out, and you can do so because her Twitter is?
It is at Michelle Maylene on Twitter, and Instagram, the Michelle Maylene.
There you go. So go check her out.
Yeah.
So follow along with us so you know what you're looking at
exactly.
As you listen to the podcast here. All right, you got into the business very early.
Very.
I think it was 18.
I was 18, so it was actually kind of a scandal because I was still enrolled in high school, and I was senior class president and top of my class, but I turned 18 in January.
Wow.
So I was dating a male stripper, of course, and he's like, "Hey, let's do fucking movies together." And I'm like, "Well, maybe," but he's like, "Come on, let's go on set and this and that." So I signed myself out of school to go to set, and I went on. My first set that I ever went on was a Vivid set where he was shooting with, what's her name? She had like the Tawna? Avina Lee. Avina Lee was on set, and.
Oh, Avina Lee was Asian.
Avina Lee was on set,
okay,
and Tiffany Taylor. So they were shooting, and he was working with them. So I got to like see like the pretty girl shoot and all that, and the directors were really nice to me and like butter me up and stuff, and he was telling them, "Oh, she might get..." This is before I signed with LA Direct, of course.
Yeah.
But so I went on set a few times, and then I was like, "Okay, let's fucking do it." So I literally would sign out of school and skip a day or two of school to shoot, be back on set be back at school the next day, and tell everyone about it. I bring them pictures and stuff from the set. And what's really cool is the whole staff knew what I was up to, all the teaching staff, because it was a private military school on Edwards Air Force Base, Desert High School. So it was very small. Our graduating class is 56 people.
Wow. Okay.
My friends are still my best of friends from, like, elementary school. They've always been so supportive of my career and, like, me getting into it. Even the teachers were, like, fascinated by it, and they would ask me about it appropriately, of course, and I would tell them. And before graduation, like, some of the military police officers and young airmen got wind that I was, like, you know, up and coming already that fast. They would wait in my school parking lot with my box covers and, like, have me signing DVDs and shit. So it was, like, kind of a big deal on base. And then during my graduation, when I was giving a speech to Zim, my vice president, he's like, "She's a porn star, yeah!" And, like, the whole auditorium erupts, and I'm like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, like, it was pretty, it was like movie shit. So I was like, fuck, thanks, Zim. Like, but it was really funny, and everyone starts cheering, and the whole class is like, fuck yeah! Like,
that is so
it
cool.
It was really, really cool.
And why were you on in a military school? Your dad was military?
My father served in the Air Force for 22 years. Years as head of logistics, so he led our nation to victory, all past operations and wars pretty much up until Iraqi freedom.
Wow.
That's my dad, Michael Beck. Yeah, he's pretty famous.
Wow, okay. Well,
he
said his name,
me.
So go ahead and say his name again.
Michael Beck.
Michael Beck.
Everyone
Google
knows
him. And on behalf of everybody, thank you for his service, because
thank
I
you.
Firmly believe that
yeah.
we need to recognize
absolutely.
All the things that these people
he's
did
a,
for
he's
us.
He's a great, great man. He's a genius. He loves the shit out of me. He knows about who I am and has always been my big, like, my best friend.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Michelle, I don't give a fuck what you do." He's like, "Just stay safe. Don't let anyone use you or abuse you." He's like, "If I could fucking make money having sex, I would too." And he's like, "I'm sick of this double-edged sword where if a man does it, he's the man.
Yeah.
But if a woman does it, he's like, she's instantly a whore." And he's like, "If anyone talks shit to you, they talk shit to me." And he's like, "And I'll kill a motherfucker." No one fucks with me.
Good.
And he's a genius, you know, like, everyone respects and venerates him, and I'm like, I'm his fucking daughter. Like, yeah, I did porn, but that doesn't mean I don't come from a good, strong family. You
yeah,
know?
No, absolutely. I think that's a misperception
it
that
really
a lot of people
is.
Have. There are a lot of...
It is a common misconception that I'm hoping to change. Like, so many of the girls, they find it empowering now, and, like, they've never been molested. Their family knows about it. It's not some scarlet letter, you know? Like, if anything, now in this day and age, it's celebrated, even as a woman.
It should be. In mm-hmm. in our world, and I've said this on the show many times, people need to understand, it's not just the girl who met a male stripper and ended up on
it's
set.
Not.
It's your next door neighbor. It's the girl that's in your apartment complex
exactly.
that's driving the new Corvette right now.
Yeah.
Because all across the country, girls are discovering that webcam is a better job
webcam?
Than being
exactly.
a secretary down at
the and you make more money.
We had a girl recently who she started in a factory working doing inspections of auto parts or something, and then found out she could do porn and make a lot more money.
Exactly.
And so it's not people coming from broken
it's
homes.
It's not. It's not. And then it's like, you know, it's not dumb girls. Like, a lot of the girls are really intelligent, really smart. A lot of them have gone to college, like myself, you know what I mean? Like, we're not just dumb girls that are like, oh, you know, and we could, like you said, we don't come from broken homes. Like,
yeah.
My family's very close-knit. I have tons of nieces and nephews and really strong, close bonds with my grandparents even and my aunts and uncles. You know what I mean? So, like, we have families too, and, like, we're normal fucking people.
Right.
I feel like a lot of times they see us like, oh, we're these adult stars, and we're like these untouchable, like, creatures to them. And it's like, no, we're actually fucking down-to-earth human beings like everybody else, and we have the same kind of shit that you guys have. We have the same kind of problems, same kind of issues, you know, same kind of family and, like, close-knitness and, like, all that. You know, a lot of people think that the girls are always, like, troubled, right?
Right.
They feel like they're troubled or they're on drugs. There's something wrong for them. And that's absolutely not the case anymore.
No, absolutely.
So.
Well, all right. So walk us through what happened next.
Okay.
You started in with this
so
male stripper. You went on a few sets.
So I fucking started, and I went on a few sets. I shot for Penthouse with Kelly at Penthouse. And then I think I got pissed off at him about something. And I kind of did a revenge thing where I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to sign with an agent, and I'm going to fucking kick your ass in porn and be fucking huge. Like, it was like a revenge thing because he told me he wasn't working with other girls, and I found out that he was.
Wow.
So that's when
yeah.
I signed with LA Direct, and it
gotcha.
Was like
okay.
instant. I was like booked almost 27 times a month. Like, I had a 2-month waiting list, like, really small work list because I'm picky as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even stay in that long, but it was fun. And then, you know, I ended up working for Playboy TV quite a bit.
Right.
And getting on Jenna's American Sex Star. See, I got lucky where Jenna and Tara Patrick both saw something in me, and they both kind of took me under their wing and mentored me a bit. Like, and then also I started getting, you know, talked to by Wicked and Vivid about being under contract, like you said. And that's when Jenna's American Sex Star came about, which was a competition show for, you know, Club Jenna contract, which was huge at the time.
Yeah, okay, we're going to get into that, but I just want to get a little bit more about your own sex. And, you know, we didn't shoot you back then, because I want people to understand why, because back then, you were the ultimate cute young thing that, you know, your roles should have been, at least for your first few years.
They were.
The naive 18-year-old girl who gets hypnotized. And then,
I was always barely legal girl, like, oh, always naive and, you know, always, I was always the young girl, But I looked even younger then. I still look young now, but without makeup, it's scary. Like, people are like, were you shooting porn when you weren't 18? I'm like, no, you freak, because I'm not fucking Tracy Lords. Just
right. But now, so y'all understand that if she was still doing porn today, we would be all over her.
Yeah.
Because now you have a little bit more of a hard edge to you, and you can be confident and strong and not limited to naive
type. But then I also, without makeup, I could still do the young girl look, too.
Yes, you could.
But I do have the confidence, and
we would put you in a cheerleader uniform and tell people that you're a college
cheerleader. I swear to fucking God, like, when I worked for Cinemax for so long, I'm like, okay, you guys, I'm fucking 30. I'm turning 30. I'm like, I can't play a college girl anymore. I'm like, and they're like, the next season, they're like, you're going to be the counselor. The hot counselor that stays at school. And so I'm like, you guys are assholes. But no, it was pretty fun.
All right, so that's what you were doing with the naive roles. What was your favorite stuff that you did back then?
Well, see, I was very, I was a shop boy girl. I was the most vanilla porn star in the whole fucking world. Like, I only did boy-girl. I literally only did maybe one or two scenes with an extra girl, but I didn't mess with her as much. Like, now I'm much more bisexual than I was before.
Yeah.
Now I love women.
Yeah.
So, like, I like messing around with them in my personal life, you know, like, here and there. But, like, before I was very scared of them. Like, I was just straight. So, like, I wasn't going to be gay for pay and just do girl-girl because it adds extra work. So I was only boy-girl vag. I never even did anal. And I was offered $10,000 to shoot an anal scene. Not going to say what company, but Derek remembers. And I turned it down. Still, I was like, no, my butthole's not ready for that.
Might have been the right move.
It might have if I chose to stay.
Yeah.
But I got out.
No, I mean, it might have been the right move for you not to do it. Because, you know, any time that a girl ends up doing something that she doesn't want to do for the money, it adds a little depressing thing. It adds to the list of depressing things on her mind.
It does. Yeah. And you should never, like, never sell yourself short. Never sell out for money. Like, even, but I've always been that way where I'm like, I'll go without. Like, I don't need a ton of money to be happy. And I'm like, I would rather, I won't sacrifice my happiness for money. You know what I mean? And, like, at the end of the day, when you look yourself in the mirror, like, are you going to be happy with, you know, being coerced into something you weren't ready for? No. So you don't do it, you know? And a lot of girls don't have that kind of strength about them. You know what I mean?
I do. And I'm going to go on a Glenn King mini rant for our listeners real quickly here, because you love your favorite porn star. You want your favorite porn star to be happy. You guys tweet all day about how you believe in the mental health of your favorite porn stars.
Yeah.
And yet, you guys encourage her to do unsafe practices. You want her to do rough scenes. You want her to do cream pie scenes. You want her to do these double anal scenes. Those are the things that contribute to the poor mental health of the performers, because diseases are passed through all of those things.
Yeah.
They get hurt. They get mentally destroyed, mentally beaten up. And so just please listen to me on this, guys. Don't get mad at your favorite performer for not doing extreme things. Encourage her to just find the things that she's happy with. Some girls love doing all the wild scenes. But the ones that aren't right for her, they aren't right for her.
Yeah,
all right, so now we're doing a little simul video cast here, so you guys will be able to look at her Instagram or whatever and see
I'll
some
post
stuff we're doing.
It. Should I stand up for them? No, it's okay. I just like talking to you. I just want a little clip of it.
Awesome.
But no, what are we talking about?
All right, now we're going to talk about Jenna's American Sex Star.
All right, Jenna's American Sex Star.
Yes.
So, should you want me to just get into it?
Very highly rated show. It really captured America in terms of the Playboy television You were on season one. How did they find you for this? How did it happen?
So basically, it was a competition show, and mm-hmm. I was literally they picked out a very small amount of girls. I think it started with. Did Chrissy tell you? I think it started with a small pool of like 10 girls or 12 girls, and then every episode they like eliminate them, very much like America's Next Top Model, but to search for the next big porn star.
Yeah.
Right. So I ended up being a finalist.
Yes.
Like you know. And
now, what did they make you do, though?
So that's what's fun is they didn't make us really. They made us do mock scenes.
Okay.
And you know, it was mostly interview process, and I feel like it was more like to test our like attitudes. They also had us like practice hosting and stuff because when you do like adult films, you're not just an adult film star. Like you get hired for appearances. You have to be in front of the camera and host events sometimes and be comfortable and work with fans. So they had us do a lot of stuff like that, to be honest. And it was mostly interview processes and fun little weird competitions. It was so long ago that like I've lived so much life since then. Like I can barely put my finger on it.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was.
So you didn't actually have sex with anybody as part of the competition.
No. They would review our work. Like I think they pulled up certain work.
Oh,
remember?
Yes.
They would see our work and then they would have us do simulated things, like to see chemistry and stuff like that. And then they did simulated photo shoots and stuff like that. It was Playboy TV, so it was very glamorous and very kosher.
Yeah.
You know what
it
I
was
mean?
Good. Though.
Is that a good word?
No,
is that not a good word to use?
No, kosher is a good word to use for this particular purpose. At least. And then that's our Jewish audience.
Very vanilla.
Us, no, come on, guys.
But they kept it very, you know, they always did pretty stuff, and they had to keep it kind of not so X-rated and explicit.
Oh, yeah. No, remember, I was Playboy Radio's first male host. I had to deal with all that.
All the freaking red tape and shit.
Things, those emails they would send us with, you know, be careful, don't say this, and don't get your picture taken in front of the logo without our permission. And it was a crazy place to work.
Jeez, I remember that. Yeah. Remember I co-hosted with Chrissy for like 2 weeks when they were looking for a new host.
Oh, right.
And that was a really fun time. I've been on her radio show recently, like a year ago.
Oh, good.
Up at Vivid, so she looks so great. She's doing so good.
I was one of the original hosts over at Vivid as well.
Nice.
So those were
look
good
at
times.
You. Well, you're great at what you do, so.
Thank you very
rightfully
much.
Rightfully so.
So the finalists of this thing were you, Tiffany Taylor, who had the worst tattoo in the world. It was drawn on by a little kid, I think.
Brea Bennett.
Yeah.
And then who's that fourth? Was there four?
I think there was a fourth, but I can't remember who it was. I don't think it's on your Wikipedia here.
I don't know. You want me to look it up real quick? I feel like the ones that I remember are the three. Okay, because I'm going to video this, but we basically got down to three finalists. That's what I remember. Do you remember that?
That's what I think it was.
I feel like
there were
it
three
was
of you when I arrived. And all right, so now I'm going to say something here because this is dramatic. So you did not win this contest.
No, I did not.
However, today, for the first time ever, we're going to reveal to you guys, you the listening audience, why she didn't win this contest that she definitely should have won.
Okay, so here's the thing. It's been long enough now, so sorry Playboy TV, sorry Jenna, like we love you. But basically, I was runner-up. So what they did was they talked to us, right? Like it was towards the end of the competition. They picked the winner, which was me. I don't want you know who getting mad. But they picked the winner, which was me, and they brought me to the back and like throughout the course of the last few days, they brought the paperwork and they were like, "Well, this is what we're willing to offer." They wanted me to be the Club Jenna contract girl and all that. But the numbers were scathing. Like, it was probably the least amount, like, the most penny-pinching, it was like 40 to 50, like 40 or 50,000, like, for the year to be a contract star. And that's pennies on the dollars. Like, contract stars don't get that. So it was like 40 or 50 or 55.
Do the math here,
something
people.
Ridiculous, like, every year, like, for the whole year. And at the time, I was being talked to by Vivid and Wicked for a contract. So I was like, I'm sorry, no deal. Like, I don't care if it's Playboy TV. I don't care. Like, I can't live off of that. Like, I was renting, like, a $3,000 apartment at the time. Like, I'm not going to be able to live off that. So I respectfully declined. And then the winner ended up being the girl who took it.
Brea Bennett. Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, I want you guys to understand the math here. She was making let's say, what was your boy girl rate back then? 1,000 or 1,200? 1,000 bucks. 1,200?
Yeah, 1,200.
1,200. She was working with a waiting list of, so she could work basically 30 days a month if she wanted to, but let's just say 25 days a month she was working, that she was doing scenes.
Yeah.
Even 20 days a month is $20,000 a month, or 20. What is two times? So $24,000 a month that she was making. 24,000 times 12 is something like $300,000 a year that she would have been making without a contract.
Without a contract.
And they offered her $40,000
a
year.
55, I think it was like close to 55, I remember.
$55,000 a year instead of the $300,000 that she could have been making without a contract.
But I get it.
And
I get that, like, being attached to Jenna Jameson is a huge deal. And being attached to Club Jenna would have been a huge deal at the time. That was, like, at her fucking peak, right? And I appreciate her for taking me under her wing. I loved her to death. I still love her to death. But you keep in mind, Brea Bennett also was her fucking super fan.
Yes.
She was like, she wanted to be the next Jenna. She loved Jenna. Like, Brea was, and God bless her. Like, I love that about her. That's why she was like, yeah, I love it. She just wanted to align with her in that regard. So I'm like, cool.
And Brea only lasted a year in her contract and then got out of it. And let me say this as, because Michelle can't say this. See, back then, rumor had it that from quite a few sources that I knew that Jenna had a lot of problems paying her friends and people. She had quite an entourage of people that she owed money to, including her. Yeah, I mean, this happens to a lot of people in our industry. When they make big money, they don't actually budget.
Exactly.
And so they can spend $30,000 a month when they are making $20,000 a month.
Exactly.
And Jenna is a classic case of that, and I think she probably admits it now that she was overspending. And
yeah, absolutely. We all do. I still am guilty of overspending at times. Like, and I've always been good with budgeting here and there, and you know what I mean? But still, we're all guilty of it. But also, I feel like a lot of her money came from the, like, backers and the financial, you know, like, the sponsors.
Yes.
So, like, you know, it wasn't necessarily from her account. It was from, so she was relying a lot on other people as well to pay these girls out and stuff like that. But it was great while it lasted, and I'm, like, good for Brea for taking the contract now.
And Tiffany ended up as a Vivid contract girl.
And Tiffany ended up with Vivid. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't last that
long. I ended up quitting before signing with either of them, like, very shortly after. And I got engaged to a soap star. Everyone knows this. But then I ended up on Cinemax.
There you go. Well, let's get into that. And by the way, we shot the Tiffany Taylor. Also, the next year, the same thing happened. Roxy Giselle won, and then she wanted to get out of her contract a year later. So nobody ended up doing
that's
this.
Shit, that's right. They did do an American Sex Star 2, didn't they?
They did. So we're going to talk about her transition into Skinamax-type movies. But first, I need to talk to you about our sponsor, Sex Panther. Sex Panther. Sex Panther is your way, my listeners, to get an intimate relationship with the porn stars that you adore and love. So you can text them. You can send them those dick pics. Or you can, because they don't want you to, in fact, not only do they not want you to send them dick pics on Twitter, but Twitter just put out new TOS, Terms of Service. You can have your account taken away
Thank
if you
God.
Send somebody an unsolicited
Thank
dick pic.
Thank God.
From now on. So,
my inbox looks like the fucking like the fucking sausage counter. Like my inbox looks like the fucking sausage refrigerator at the fucking grocery store. It's that bad. Like,
report
like,
them
please.
All.
Please. Report.
Report them all.
I will. I even tell people, I'm like, please don't send. Like, I'm like, stop sending me this. Like,
all right, but then here's what we're going to do. We're going to get you signed up on Sex Panther.
Okay.
Because you can charge guys $10 to send you a dick pic, and then charge, you can charge them.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, why didn't I sign up ages ago?
Yes.
Let's do it.
And so this is the thing. Not only can you, the fans, get an intimate picture from Michelle, if she gets on here, or Christy Canyon, or Ginger Lynn, or Courtney Taylor, who was on the show a few weeks ago. Yeah, like Courtney gets on Sex Panther every day, and she'll send you nudes. And you can also just talk to them. Like, Ginger gets a ton of people that just want to know what it was like when she dated Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
And she talks, she spends hours on the phone every day.
They just like talking.
Yes.
I find that my, like, biggest fans they want to know me on a more personal level. It's not like, oh, like you're a sex goddess or anything like that. Like, they want to know me as Michelle, like as a normal human being, and want to know, you know, what my vices are, what I like to do when I'm not, like, you know, what I do for fun, what I do on a normal daily basis. Like, it's very strange. I like to be much more personal.
Yeah, if you want to see the Michelle Maylene porn pictures, then just Google her or go on the internet and go find them. But if you want real intimate pictures, then you're going to want to use Sex Panther. That's S-E-X-T Panther, P-A-N-T-H-E-R.com. And then I also want to say, for the many, many performers who listen to the show, as an example, Michelle Maylene, this is your way to get that intimate bond, that intimate relationship with your fans, but only with the loyal fans who support you and weed out the ones who say, well, I want to talk to you and send you dick pictures, but I don't want to spend any money.
Yeah, well, you can go get fucked.
Yes.
You can go fuck yourself.
So that's what Sex Panther's for. It is for both the performers. Go sign up. And it is for the fans. Everybody can get connected. So, of course, since they're my sponsor, I have a good relationship with them. I'm going to help Michelle get set up with them as quickly as we can. So there you go, Sex Panther, everybody. Check that out. All right, so this is really cool for me because I knew you in 2004 and 2005, and we hung out, and we had Brookhaven as our both our close friends. We spent a lot of time together, but I lost track of you for the most part.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that you've done so well. Talk to us about how you ended up doing mainstream films. You're in a, can I say the film that you're in next week?
Sure.
She's in a Robert De Niro movie in a couple of weeks here. This is so cool.
Robert De Niro, Tommy Lee Jones, and Morgan Freeman. It's a $30 million movie. The producer called me himself directly, and he's like, I really want you. I'm playing a sexy, like, machine gun-toting nun.
That's
like, I want to play a badass. So that's, like, the newest news. So that's fun. I recently shot for Amazon Prime a movie called Girl Lost 2. I guess it's the number one trending Amazon Prime movie.
Wow.
Serena. Brooke was in it, too.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. But I ended up on freaking Cinemax, HBO Cinemax. They've fed me until I was 30.
From what 19 happened? You were doing porn and...
I was doing porn. I got engaged. My first engagement.
Yeah.
Don't ask how many I have.
And this is public information.
This is very public.
He was a relatively famous person.
He was. He was very famous. Mom, he was a soap star.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was like, you know, came out publicly with me. Like, we'd always be in those fucking little tabloid magazines and shit. And he's like, you know, I love her and I'm marrying her. So he proposed to me. He's like, but I want you to quit and I want to take care of you, all that. But then, lo and behold, I would be reading his script with him when he came home, because they shot every day for the soaps. He was on Days of Our Lives and All My Children.
Yeah.
So he'd come home, I'd read the script with him, and he's like, Michelle, he's like, you're really fucking good. He's like, you're better than some of the girls that I work with. He's like, let me pay for your acting classes and take you to my agent and, you know, get you doing more mainstream stuff. So I studied with Eric Morris Intensive, who's like Jack Nicholson and Meryl Streep went to, and I did great in his class, surprisingly. Everyone was scared of him, but he loved me, probably because I have these. Well, I didn't have these back then, but...
Yeah, you were hot. You were, the word I like to use is Q factor. Like, some people just sort of jump out at you if you're scanning a room or you're scanning a page, and you're like, boom, okay, I noticed that person. You've always had the Q factor
you.
And by the way, just so the listeners know, because it is public information, what was the name of the soap star that you were dating?
Marcus Patrick.
Marcus Patrick, which is on her Wikipedia.
And he's married now, he has kids, like, he's doing really good. You know, so I'm like, great, we didn't work out, but that's okay. And he definitely is paramount to me moving into mainstream, like, so I always will be, like, eternally grateful to him, because he got me on the few little things here and there, like, I've done a lot. If you look at my IMDb, I was on 2 Netflix shows, one with Vin Diesel, so that was pretty fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I got...
Now, just so I understand about the acting classes, I went to acting classes as well. People don't realize that Hollywood acting classes, they're not like you went to in your high school drama class, because the first thing they have to do is they have to break you open. They have to get you to the point where you flow, your emotions flow out of you and are expressed.
Yeah.
How long did it take you in those acting classes before your teacher was going like, yes,
oh my God,
I believe
almost,
you now?
Almost instantly, because, like, I feel like having done porn and having experienced, like, I've lived a lot of life, like, you know, I've lost people, like, I've experienced a lot of things, so it's very easy for me to get back to that state. And you know me, like, I wear my heart on my sleeves, like, I'm a very emotional person and I'm a very real person.
Yeah.
So, and I'm also extremely empathetic to, like, humanity and people, and, like, so it's very easy for me to, like, get to that, to the nitty-gritty of that. So it was almost instant, like, within the first few weeks, definitely.
Wow,
after I got
great.
The jitters. And he would always, like, he would always applaud me, and everyone would freak out because he was so fucking slicing to everybody else. So I was, like, just fucking, like, I don't know how I'm getting through this, like, scot-free. I was like, I must be pretty good. So it was pretty fun.
I was in Dobie Gillis's acting school, so you're too young to know who Dobie Gillis was, but Dobie Gillis had this TV show, and then Gilligan, Bob Denver, I think was his name, Denver Pyle, was his sidekick on
Denver
the show.
Pyle.
Was that, or no, I'm confusing my guys, right? All right, well, Gilligan was on the show with Dobie Gillis. Dobie Gillis hated me. He did not like me in his acting classes, and I didn't like him, and it didn't, it's one of the reasons I never became an actor. But anyway, so that's awesome. So you got going in these things.
And then my very first audition was for Coed Confidential, and then I had already worked for Cinemax through Derek, like, for the Skinemax movies.
Yeah.
But this was,
what was,
like,
his name, the guy that was doing all those?
Robert Lombard.
Yeah,
he still does it.
He does?
So,
well, oh,
wow. Kind of here and there. He's kind of more retired now, but,
yeah.
And Cinemax doesn't do any softcore stuff anymore, but Showtime does. And surprisingly enough, the former owners of ADN, Paul Fishbein and Darren, do Showtime, and they almost had me on their new show, Chemistry. But then, for scheduling conflicts and stuff, I didn't end up on it. So after I got done with Cinemax, Showtime wanted me. But then I was booked on other fun things. But they always keep me in mind. They're doing really good. Darren owns a big pot distributor company. And then Paul is doing all the softcore stuff for Showtime.
Awesome. Paul and I are longtime friends. He is one of the greatest guys.
Dude, I love him so much. Paul always loved me. Back when he was still the owner of AVN. Like, remember, I would host for AVN Live, and they had me on that great contract, which I fucking loved, doing, like, the weekly wrap-ups. I met Paul at his bachelor party.
Oh,
so,
wow.
What's funny is they gathered a group of girls, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's the owner of AVN. I'm like, whatever, you know me. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just go. I'm definitely not one to, like, spread my legs to, like, gain anything, but I'm like, unless it's for money or whatever, but no, just kidding. But Paul, he said the same thing to me, that I had that. He's like, you know, you just stood out, and, like, we were instantly best friends. Like, he chose me to be his girl for the night. I gave him the dopest lap dance ever. But ever since then, like, we always, like, yeah, he thought I was sexy, and he always was, like, rooting for me and, like, said the same thing as you, basically. But we were cool. Like, he's, like, my homie, and, like, but he, you know, his daughter's, like, really old. She's getting older now and really cute.
So throw out some your favorite productions that you worked on that are mainstream.
My favorite productions, well, definitely Netflix, The Ropes, Vin Diesel series.
Okay.
Where I did a cameo. It was really cool. Where I paid the girl that all the bouncers. It was basically all his stories from when he was a bouncer, and, like, it wasn't him in it at all. He was just the producer. And Zoe Saldana from Avatar, she directed me for the 2-3 days I was on set. So it was,
wow,
like, magical. So I got to meet her and, like, hang out with them, like, in the trailers and stuff. But I played the girl that all the bouncers were obsessed with. And I would come in and, like, cut to the front of the line. And, like, I was the party girl. And then one of them, which is actually really funny, was my ex in real life, not the soap star, the one I left the soap star for. He booked the main character in that. So he's the bouncer that eventually gets me on the series, and, like, you know, we fuck around and stuff. So I was like, babe, like, this is great. Like, I had to, like, dance on a poker table and, like, get all crazy and get fucked, like, backstage and stuff, like, fake fucked, of course. But I was like, we're basically capturing our relationship on camera for Netflix forever. Like, this is what we do in real life.
Right.
And it was really fun.
Yeah,
like,
that's easy.
It was so fun. And Joel Rush, he's really, really, he's doing great. Like, I just talked to him maybe 3 months ago, but he has a daughter now, and he's in Georgia. He's signed with Tyler Perry, like, completely.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
He's on fucking that one show, For Better or For Worse.
Okay.
But now he works for Tyler, like, nonstop. So, but it was fun because, like, he would piggyback me to set. So it looked like it was Brooklyn, but we really shot it in downtown LA. So he'd piggyback me to set. We'd be, like, drinking secretly in the trailer. Like, it was just a fun time. That one, I love everything I shot for Cinemax.
Yeah.
That was great. I love shooting. Remember Zane's Sex Chronicles?
Yes.
I absolutely love the episodes I shot for them because, like, they just made it so beautiful, and I just love the history that it's actually aligned with a novel series because, you know, I'm a big reader. But I loved everything, Glenn. You know me. I think everything's great.
You did some stuff with Brookhaven.
I did.
Were you in that movie she did?
We were Paris Hilton's movie.
Okay, Paris Hilton's movie.
Paris
Talk about
Hilton's
that one.
Movie, Pledge This. That was ages ago where we played, like, the nude sorority goddess. We were the sorority goddesses that everyone worshipped.
That's great. You guys got to go look that
that
up.
That was fun.
And I think maybe you were in the one that was something like How to Get Along in Hollywood or something like that.
No, that was her separately. And then I was in a comedy, a fucking great comedy called The Best Thanksgiving Ever.
Okay.
And I brought Brooke onto the movie with me. We always, like, bring each other onto sets.
Yeah.
But The Best Thanksgiving Ever is actually a really fun comedy. You should watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I played a role in that, too. Like, comedy stuff. Small roles, like, nothing crazy. This coming up one is going to be my biggest, that's for sure. Like, I just can't believe it. It literally just, my inbox dinged and then got a call from my friend Jason Allison, who's the producer. And, like, he's like, hey, like, we think you're perfect for this. Like, can you come? And, like, I was like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. No audition, no nothing.
It's the opportunity of a lifetime. So
but it's a small thing, but
no,
it's
but
still
there's
fun.
Okay, so two things come into play in a situation like this. Because when I first came to Hollywood, you know, I was trying to get into movies and stuff like that, and I did a lot of extra type work. Mm-hmm. So, for example, on anger management. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I got a small thing.
No
on anger
way!
Management.
I love anger management.
Yeah, so it had Jack Nicholson,
no
of
way.
Course, and Adam Sandler.
I love that.
And there was a scene where Jack was walking down the hall of the courthouse bouncing a basketball, and then I'm in there with him and with this hot girl. And the scene got cut out of the movie, but it ended up being... Because that happened to us a lot.
That does happen.
Okay, but here's the point I was going to make. Two things come out of it. Number one, you do these movies with these famous people, and you realize that they're kind of just people. Mm-hmm. So in some cases, the aura... just comes off of them a little bit because you're like, okay, to some degree, they're just a regular guy reading a script just like me.
Yeah.
Also, though, some of them have an aura that transcends everything. They walk onto set and you don't need to see them because you feel it.
You just
when
know.
Jack Nicholson walked onto set...
That's like
and I'm
Robert,
standing within sure. 5 feet of Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
I feel a rub of greatness.
Yeah.
And that's what you exactly
gonna
are going
to get.
Robert De Niro is
freaking huge. Like, he's up there with, like, Al Pacino. Like, fuck, I'm excited because, like, I'm friends with Nobu, you know, his partner, folks, and I've... Like, Chef Nobu, who owns the restaurant, he opened Nobu.
Oh, yeah, the Nobu's guy. Right. Okay.
So I'm going to totally, like, you know me, I'm fearless. I'm like, yes. I don't know where I get it from, but I'm like, I just am myself and just say what I want, do what I want. And usually it's well received. Like,
right.
And I'll walk up to any celebrity, like, big or small, and, like, usually they get a kick out of me. So I'm going to be like, hey, we should, I'm totally going to be like, let's go to Nobu together. Nobu will love it.
Incredible.
Just kidding, no.
Robert De Niro. And you'll learn, if you can get a dinner with Robert De Niro and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I think he's married.
And,
I think he's married, but who knows?
Well, who knows?
Who knows?
But
I'm respectful. Like, I'm, you know, I'm currently juggling, like, three people right now. So, like, my platter's full. I'm not trying to
But that's how you, that makes you more attractive is the thing.
Because I don't want them. Exactly. And I'm not trying to do anything.
For any guy, any girl out there, when you have people in your life and, you know, or in my case, because I get to have sex in my videos, I don't walk around like I want to have sex. I'm not thirsty, so people can sense it. I mean,
it's
girls come up to me constantly.
It's really funny. It's the opposite. Like, when you're secure and confident, which I've always been. And then, like, when you're getting laid and you, like, have your own little stable of men and women, like...
Right.
You're chill, like, people sense that, and it kind of makes you more attractive
to them.
It
makes you more attractive.
It's really strange, right? That's a good episode to talk about, like, that whole... It's funny, like, when you find that when I'm in relationships, I get hounded way more than when I'm single. Like, do you find that, too? Like, when you're single, you're like, okay, where are all the fucking dates at? But then as soon as, like, you got one, two, three, in my case, great guys that are sharing me, everyone's, like, fucking... knocking, like, barking up my tree. I'm like, stand in line, buddy. Get in line, honey, because I'm satiated completely at the moment.
It's a look in your eyes And it's your face expression. And it's like,
is we, like, for me anyway, I could walk in anywhere and take my pick of whatever guy, whatever girl I want to go home with at the end of the night. And it happens. Like, if I choose to. Like, I clean. I'm the best wingman ever. I can, like, bring fucking stables of girls, like, hot girls home.
Yeah.
For some reason, they love me. Like, but I make them feel beautiful, and I love them, too. Dude, my wifeies are the hottest fucking bitches on the planet. Like, if you guys follow my Instagram, you'll see who my wifeies are, like, because I'm bisexual. Everyone knows this, kind of. But no, so I'm like, I'm like, my platter's full. I'm good.
Say your Instagram one more time.
My Instagram is the Michelle Maylene, and it is private, so request me. Because I filter out, like, the escorts and, like, the computers and stuff. Like, you know, you could click and see. So I filter that out. But my Twitter is public, and it's at Michelle Maylene.
So go follow her. Now I'm going to ask her about her, all the other endeavors that she's doing today. But first, I need to talk about our other sponsor real quickly, and that is Savage Sin Clothing. Savage Sin Clothing is clothing for cool people. Believe me on this. I personally am not somebody who knows how to dress. I don't know how to be cool. I don't know how to act cool when it comes to clothing. And so I need somebody to just lay some clothing out for me that's cool and trendy and hip and looks, makes me look like I'm in touch with the modern world. That's what you can be, too. See, you can be in touch with the modern world. You can do this by going to SavageSinClothing.com. They have all kinds of cool stuff for men. They have stuff for women. We got to show you this stuff because we're going to get you some Savage Sin Clothing. They're right here in Vegas. And but go to the website right now, everybody. It's manufactured right here in the United States. It's high-quality cotton. It's very good clothing. But most importantly, I want you to go to the website and look through it. And we have a special promo code for you. Our promo code is KINGSIN, KINGSIN. Enter the promo code KINGSIN at checkout. You're going to get 40% off of your entire order of Savage Sin clothes. So this is a good deal, and it's really awesome clothing, and I myself am looking forward to wearing this clothing around. So SavageSinClothing.com.
Very
All right.
Cool.
So just to wrap up this interview, we're now going to get to the present with Michelle. I know you got some awesome projects going on.
Yeah.
Talk
I
to
got
us.
Some awesome projects going on, like we talked about earlier, the filming stuff. But I'm also going to be feature dancing in New York City again, December 19th.
Great.
So that's pretty fun. I just
Which club?
Oh, Sapphire. I'm sorry. Sapphire, New York City.
Sapphire, New York City.
I'm sorry. I'm just so used to going there that I'm like, everyone knows I dance at Sapphire. But it's one show only. But I do stay afterwards for, like, pictures, VIP rooms, stuff like that. And, you know, Glenn will tell you, I'm really, really good to fans. And I actually spend time with them. It's not like revolving door. Like, I actually try to get to know them and spend time with them. And it's fun. And then I think I'm going to extend my trip and spend Christmas on the East Coast.
Nice.
But I pretty much dance for Sapphire here and there. I just hosted the pool party, the topless pool party, which was fun.
In Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But other than
you did that with... With Alexis Monroe and...
That was our girl hangout day. I hosted Sapphire Topless Pool for the first weekend of summer.
Oh, okay.
For Sapphire Day Club out here. And after, I had a feature performance the night before. But other than that, I'm not really booked aside from the Robert De Niro film, which is fucking huge. And then I just shot the Amazon Prime thing. But I'm just relaxing. Like, I guess I'm being told that this summer is going to be very leisurely for me, which will be nice. Because I've been kind of all over the place lately. So I'm literally just going to fucking hunker down, hang out by the pool, harass golfers.
So this is kind of cool because, you know...
Did you
the
see
last...
that video on Instagram? So basically, you know how Derek's house is on the ninth hole? I'm by the pool, like the pool and the gate is right here and then the fucking ninth hole. Every motherfucking golfer that comes up stops and talks to me. So I'm like, can't I just fucking tan? So I turned it around.
Yeah.
I turned it around. You guys can see the video on my Instagram. I was like, I'm gonna go harass the golfers. Like, so I make it like a fun thing to like to start like distracting them and like, but they always end up laughing and stuff like that. That it was really fun. But so I joke around. Like, I spend my days harassing golfers by the pool. Like, it's a really hard life, you know. I did graduate for interior design, so like that's something I dabble in. If someone wants me to decorate their place for them, yeah, great. But I stay pretty busy with everything else, so
Well, this might be an opportunity for you guys out there. If you are doing some kind of a production or some kind of grand opening or something that you do need a very gregarious, personable model to be there for you to make your thing
go well. I'm really good
well.
With event planning.
She's good. She's actually got some free time, so try to get her booked. Talk to her agency. Which is your agency for
LA Direct Models.
So, LA Direct Models.
And Lee Network is for featuring.
And Lee Network for featuring. So if you are the kind of person that needs somebody like this for your production or for your a grand opening or whatever, then do look her up, and you can get her, because usually her schedule is a lot more busy than this.
Yeah, exactly. And I also shot a music video for an upcoming artist called Jill Cassidy was in it with me.
Oh, she's cool.
She's the fucking cutest. So our music video will be coming out for Matt Easton Music. It's a great song. So we've just been shooting here and there. You know how life goes.
Well, there you go, everybody. The awesome, the incredible, the talented, the strikingly beautiful Michelle Maylene. You're following her already if you've been listening to the podcast. But just one more time, tell them where to follow you.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Michelle Maylene. And then Instagram is my private account, but I'll gladly add you. It's at the Michelle Maylene. Michelle Maylene. Because, you know, some troll stole my other page. As usual. But thank you guys so much for having me, Glenn. I can't wait to spend more time with you while I'm hanging around Vegas.
Yay, we're going to hang out this
we're
summer.
We're going to hang
absolutely.
Out. We're
going to
fucking...
By my house.
Let's fucking wrangle bitches. Let's do it.
All right, so if you are one of the 50-something thousand subscribers who listen to the podcast, then thank you very much.
Yeah,
if you are somebody that's just kind of finding us for the first time today, whether it be on Spreaker, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, iTunes, or YouTube, or any place else you get podcasts, we would very much appreciate it. I know Michelle would appreciate it, and maybe even have sex with you if you hit the subscribe button and give us
a five, possibly.
Not guaranteed, but possibly.
I'm very particular.
Yeah, so subscribe. Give us a five-star review on there. I don't care if you even listen to the podcast. Just do
give
the five-star
review. Give us a five-star review, motherfuckers, or I'll hunt you down myself.
Yes.
If you don't, okay, I mean, you should do it differently, where you're like, if you don't, I will. Are you familiar with Lorena Bobbitt? No, I'm just kidding.
That could happen, because don't forget, guys, that I am the dominatrix whisperer, the guy that spawns and helps girls become more aggressive and mean. There's a whole side of Michelle that we're going to open up here. So
I already got that
do what
side,
she dude. Says, or she's going to come after you. So there you go. Thank you, everybody, for listening. So let's talk about it.